And Father, we just pray right now, Lord. We just thank you. Thank you for great people. Thank you for a good church. Thank you, Lord, for a generous church. Thank you for people, Lord, who are hungry for you. I thank you, Lord, that people come here to church today with a real sense of expectation. Thank you, Lord, there's a sense of faith building in this service today. And Lord, we just honor you and we just praise. We turn to your word that, Lord, our faith will increase and grow today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm preaching today, obviously, and I'm going to preach for the next, including today, 4 weeks. And then Rochelle and I, by the way, if you're wondering where Rochelle is, she's actually ministering to the children today. So they're going to have a great time out there. She'll be ministering to the boys and girls in both services today. Great to have Brian on the keyboard, by the way, and he did really well. Really pleased about that. So pleased. And but I'll be speaking for the next 4 weeks. And I want to be running with this theme of a better way to live. And so you just don't want to miss out. Even if you're thinking, oh, I'm not feeling 100% today, just give yourself a good shake, drink lots of coffee, and just show up for church. Amen. Praise God. Put a bit of sugar in if you have to. Because you need to hear this. And I'm really serious about this. And today's just a foundational message, really, for the next 3 weeks. And then Rochelle and I will be going away for 3 weeks. We're going to go to London to see Jared, our son, in London. And we're very excited about that. And so we've got some great guest speakers in. We've got Ned Davies coming back in a few weeks' time. We've got Phil Hepworth coming back. My dad's coming back. And he's all fired up. And so it's all happening, so you really want to be a part of this. But the message over the next 4 weeks are connected to the theme you've got on your screen, that you can live a better life. And so that's kind of what we're going to be focusing on. And I actually want to talk about tithing too over the next couple of weeks. It's a lot of confusion. You know, we take our offerings, and some people say, well, what's that actually all about? Is that even in the Bible? So we'll look at that, and actually you'll be really blessed and encouraged through those messages. But here we go for today. Who's ready for the Word of God today? Yeah. So I just want to begin by just asking you all a question. A question is always a good thing to ask. A simple question is, how many people here enjoy reading a good book? A lot of you. Who just doesn't like reading at all? Okay, some of you. Yeah, a few of you. Okay, I reckon personally that a good book is always better than watching TV. And mind you know, I watch TV too. And there's so many good books to read. Who prefers to read books on Kindle and your tablet? Anybody like that? I tried that, just couldn't work for me. I tried reading my iPad in bed like this, and my arms got sore. And, you know, I just couldn't do it, And there's something about turning a page, isn't there? And putting a bookmarker in. Yes, so maybe that's a reflection of our age, I don't know. When our kids were little, I used to enjoy making up my own bedtime stories to entertain them. So I got two boys, and I used to create fictitious stories about two little boys, and you know, the kids loved it. And I toyed with the idea of writing a fun children's book, but I never did. Who's ever thought about writing a book before? Yeah, yeah. Come on, we need to write these things, hey? And maybe when I get some grandchildren one day, hey, man, I might get motivated again. But thank God for books. And we all know that books are written for many reasons. Some books are written purely for entertainment, and we love those kind of books, don't we? Some books are written to educate. Some are written to inspire. And some are written to inform. And we understand that books are written to target your emotions, and they're written to target your intellect. And the Bible, which still continues to be the best-selling book of all time, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible also targets our emotions and our intellect. I'm going somewhere with this, so stay with me. And the Bible is packed with great stories, many of which are extraordinary. What about Jonah and the whale? What a great story. And the Bible is also filled with a mixture of inspiring and infamous characters. And the Bible also teaches us about God and about life. So from romance through to end time prophecy, the Bible has it. Oh, what a great book to read. Amen. However, the Bible also targets the human spirit. And this fact is of great significance because no other book can target the human spirit, ladies and gentlemen. That makes the Bible, I'm really serious about this, that makes the Bible unique and profoundly profound. Nonetheless, too many Christians And they allow the Bible to only impact their emotions or their intellect, but they don't let it impact their spirit. However, God desires for everybody in this place today, all of us together, born-again believers, God desires for us to engage the Holy Bible with our spirit as well as with our intellect and with our emotions. The word Bible does not occur in the Bible itself. That's just a word that Christians started using centuries ago to describe the collection of holy scriptures that we have today. Bible simply means just book. That's what the word means. However, the Bible often refers to its own writings as the Word of God. Very important title, the Word of God. Important description, the Word of God. So whenever you read the Bible, and I hope that you do, whenever you read the Bible, you are literally reading God's messages. You're reading about God's thoughts, and you're reading about God's promises to the body of Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, which is found in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, it declares rather remarkably, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful." For the Word of God is alive and it's powerful. Amen. My textbooks at school, you remember your textbooks at school, whoever read them, amen, amen. Our textbooks at school, my textbooks informed me and they gave me information. But my textbooks at school were neither alive nor powerful. The Harry Potter books, who's read those? Keep your hands down, amen.
I love your hair.
Anyway, the Harry Potter books, they may have entertained the masses, but not one of the Harry Potter books is alive or powerful. The Bible is the only book on earth that is alive and powerful. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Now, I like bread. Amen. "But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus was saying, just as natural food gives life to the body, so the Word of God, the Bible, also brings life to a person. The Word of God is alive and powerful. When God created the heavens and the earth, He did so by His spoken word. God said, "Let there be light," and boom, 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 light came. Wow. Photons flying everywhere. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that God sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. What power, what strength, and what authority there is in the Word of God. I'll say it again. What power, what strength, and what authority there is in the Word of God. And God has given to us His written Word, the Bible, the written Word, the Bible. And the same power that holds the universe together sits within the Holy Bible that you have sitting on your shelf at home. It's the same God who's spoken the words. Wow. Wow. You don't want to let your Bible just gather dust. You want to read your Bible. The Word of God is alive and it's powerful. Indeed, only the Word of God is able to provoke and stir something up in the heart of a person that then allows that person to step into the realm of the Spirit and engage God. In a few moments, we're going to pray and we're going to step into the realm of the Spirit and believe God for miracles today. And that's something that the Word of God stirs up or provokes in the heart of a person is faith. The Bible targets my emotions. The Bible targets my intellect, and that's important. But the Bible also targets my spirit and stirs up my faith. The glorious stories of the Bible move my emotions. The rich, mind-boggling, scriptural insights into life, God, and eternity stimulate my intellect. But the Word of God feeds my faith so I can step into the spirit realm and participate in and enjoy the life of God in the here and now. And everybody in this room, whoever you are, and I don't know everybody here today, everybody in this room has this divine attribute called faith. Just like everybody in this room has hands and feet. You have faith within your spirit. It is part of your humanity. It's part of being made in the image of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God has given to you a measure of faith. You have faith. I have faith. You have a spiritual capacity to believe God with your heart today. Somebody listen. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So if there's somebody here today who wants to be saved from going to hell, here's the answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you did not have faith, then that scripture you've got on the TV screens right now would be unfair to you. God could not judge you. If you do not have faith, you could not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But that scripture you've got on your TV screens right now is not unfair because God has given you faith for you to believe should you choose to believe upon Jesus Christ. Everybody has faith. You have faith just like you have emotions and just like you have an intellect. Now your faith may be weak. It may be small. And it even might be neglected. But you still have faith, which is a marvelous gift from God that allows you to do great exploits for the kingdom of God. And the Bible, that is alive and powerful, targets your spirit and it targets your faith. Amen? Question, why does the Bible target your faith? Why would God have the Bible target your faith? Well, the answer is pretty simple, I think. Is because you've got lots of needs. Everybody in this room, you've got needs. You've got needs. Everybody's got needs. And some of your needs here today are very great needs indeed. And God, in His wondrous grace, has provided for all your needs through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God is a good God. That's more than a cliche. It's a truth. God is a good God who loves His people and He loves you today, whoever you are. And Jesus Christ has done completely everything to provide for all our many different kinds of needs that we have. Therefore, this is something just to ponder. Therefore, Jesus is not going to do anything more for us. Because there is nothing more for Him to do. I'll say it again. I hope everybody can understand what I'm saying here. Jesus is not going to do anything more for us because there's nothing more for Him to do. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished. The work has been done." Amen. Jesus has done it all. He gained the victory for us and He's provided for us. There are a lot of things, brothers and sisters, that we pray for when God has actually already provided for. There's a lot of things that we pray for that God has already actually provided for. There's a lot of things that we're praying for that God has actually already provided for. See, I might pray for peace in my heart. We all need peace. But Jesus said 2,000 years ago, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. He's either given it or he hasn't given it. Peace of heart has already been provided. It's available for me, it's available for you. So instead of begging God for something he's already given, maybe I need to change the way I'm praying and do some kind of praying that receives from God. Who's that? Do you want to turn it off? Who's God? I wonder what that was. I thought the Lord was speaking to me just then. Taps will help you turn the switch it off. How to switch it off. Amen. I got a bucket of water over here, actually. Praise God. Well, where were we? What were we talking about this morning? Amen. Oh, yeah, receiving. Amen. Amen. See, in a minute, we're going to have a prayer line. And we're going to do any begging. No begging this morning. You know, we're just going to say, Lord, I'm going to receive. I'm receiving. Come on, we want to go home changed, don't we? You know, it sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? Begging for something God's already given to us. And religion teaches us to do that. It's kind of natural. It's what we do. But the Word of God is a supernatural book. Time to receive in Jesus' name. And Jesus has done what needed to be done so you and I can live a favored life. And God's interested in you living a blessed life. Because you can live a better life. Come on, you can. Who cares what the news is saying? Who cares what Donald Trump is doing or not doing? I mean, really, who cares? Who cares about politics? I tell you, you could still live a better life in Jesus' name. Amen. And we read about all the wonderful things that Christ, our Savior, has done from the Word of God. Indeed, the psalmist said to God with gratitude, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And it's the same for us today. God's prepared a great feast of provision for those that love him. And what you got to do, you got to come to the table and eat from the table of blessing. The food's on the table. The blessing's on the table. Come on, come on. This is what you need. Come to the table of God. We'll have communion in a few moments. We're going to come to the table of God. Amen. So the truth is, Almighty God is actually waiting for you to receive the provision that He's already provided for you and that you desperately need. And you only ever receive God's provision for your life by faith. It's the only way. You can only receive God's provision for your life by faith in what God has said He has done for you as recorded in the Bible. You step into God's provision for your life by faith in the words of God, the Bible. The Bible. The Bible. The Word of God is alive and powerful, and it targets your faith. The Word of God ignites your faith so that you can believe and receive in Jesus' name. Now, you can read the Word of God, your Bible, with your intellect switched on, and even with your emotions engaged. You may find what you read in the Bible encouraging, as we all do, comforting, even uplifting. And you think, wow, that really encouraged me today. And thank God for that. And that's what many Christians do with the Bible. But that's all we seem to settle for. Because, see, until you engage the Word of God with a heart that desires to believe, then you'll still struggle to receive the benefits of the life of God that have been provided for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. At the beginning of this message, I said too many Christians allow the Bible to impact only their emotions and their intellect. And while that has genuine great merit, it does not bring breakthrough in the struggles of life. Being encouraged and uplifted is great, but sometimes I need a breakthrough, not just a word of encouragement. Sometimes I need the tables to be turned on the devil. I don't just need a word that lifts my spirit. Sometimes I need something desperately to happen. Who's with me? Who's with me? I need more than just a word of encouragement sometimes. And so I propose that in view of the uncertainty of life and for our own benefit, it's time for us all here at Real Life Church to get stirred up concerning God's word once again. Come on, come on, come on. We're saying, the lines in the sand, we're saying no to the devil, we're saying yes to the Word of God. I've had enough. What about you? Had enough of the enemy. It's time to open up our hearts and engage the Word of God, not just with our emotions and intellect, but also with our heart and with our faith. Indeed, if you're going to overcome the many challenges of life, and there are many challenges, it's time to walk by faith and not by sight. And engaging our faith with the Word of God requires patience. And it could take a little time for us to get used to doing it. And perhaps that's because we've never learned about the subject of faith. Or perhaps we gave it a go a long time ago in some other place, some other time, and it didn't work out or something, or we got discouraged, or somebody was saying something out of balance, and we think, oh, I'm not going to do this thing anymore. There are just many misunderstandings believers have about the subject of faith. That's why I'm just bringing it up today. For example, some precious believers try to believe God's word with their intellect and their thinking. Oh, if I just think hard enough. And they call that faith. Out of their intellect and wishful thinking, they try hard to believe God for miracles. But nothing happens. And they don't get the answer they desire from prayer or the provision that they need. And then they get discouraged. Or they reason that God has another plan. That's always an escape clause, isn't it? God has another plan for my life. When, hey, you've got a need, you know? And I know about this because I've been there and done that so many times. But just try harder. Try harder. However, I've learned a lesson. The kind of faith I'm talking about this morning has nothing to do with the intellect or with agreeing that something is true in the Bible. Even the devil can agree that the Bible's true, but he's not walking in faith today, is he? Amen. And intellect's important, but the faith I'm talking about has got nothing to do with the intellect. You will never get a miracle by using positive thinking. You won't. Do you know how I know about that? Been there, done that. Faith is not from your mind. Faith is of the heart or the spirit. I found that trying, please don't misunderstand what I'm going to say, get offended by what I'm going to say, but I found that trying to believe God's word is emotionally exhausting and it never works. I've discovered that God has not called us to try and believe. God has called us to simply believe. If you're trying, you're not believing. God's called us not to try and believe. He's called us to simply believe. And so instead of putting effort into trying to believe, which God's never told us to do, it's better to take that effort and redirect it into drinking in the Word of God. Have I mentioned yet in this sermon that the Word of God is alive and powerful? Have I mentioned that? So we come back to the Word of God. Because, see, if you work the Word of God in your life, then your faith to believe God will take care of itself. We put the cart before the horse. I've been doing that for donkey's years. It's wrong. That was pretty funny, wasn't it? Yeah. That wasn't intentional either, but if you're lacking in your faith, don't fret or worry. Don't get uptight if you, I'm really lacking in faith. I'm struggling to believe God. Well, lighten up a little bit. Take a chill pill, whatever it is, you know. Just be patient and put your effort into working God's word into your life and your faith will grow. Because the word of God is life and it's powerful. And it's not like any other book because it targets your faith. It ignites your faith. Work the Word of God in your life and your faith will come alive. Amen. Romans 10 verse 17 says, so faith comes from hearing. Interesting. That is hearing the good news about Jesus. The good news about Jesus is the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Amen. What a great passage of Scripture. Joshua 1 verse 8. Keep this book of the law, and in the Old Testament uses that phrase, the book of the law, which means the word of God. So we could say, keep the word of God always on your lips. Meditate. Can anybody see that word meditate on your TV screens? That is such an interesting word, and we often don't get what it really means. It means actually to ponder, we get that bit, to muse over, but it also means to mutter, mutter. So let's read that again. It says, keep the word of God always on your lips, ponder and mutter. Can we say mutter together? Doesn't it feel good saying that word? Mutter, mutter. So keep it on your lips, mutter on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, obedience. Then look at the last line. Then you will be prosperous and successful. No about trying. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Meditate means to ponder, but it means to mutter. Look at this next passage, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the seat of mockers. But whose delight is in the word of God, the law of the Lord, and who, there it is again, and who meditates, who ponders and mutters, who mutters on his word day and night, who mutters, blessed is the one who mutters on his word day and night. What happens? That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. There it is again, whatever they do. Doesn't say they're trying to prosper. They're putting their effort into the word, and then whatever they do, praise God. You work the word of God in your life by speaking it to yourself, by singing it to yourself. That's why we're going to sing this old corny song in a moment. I'm praying, Father, that this old corny song, people won't be able to get it out of their heads the whole week. Even in bed at night. Amen. You're wondering about the old corny song in a minute. But we also ponder upon and mutter. This is so powerful. Mutter the word of God to yourself. Mutter the word of God to a better life for yourself. You mutter about what Christ has done. You keep the word of God on your lips. Now, you may think muttering sounds a little bit weird and unusual, but the faith heroes that you read about in Hebrews chapter 11 understood the power of pondering and the power of muttering. The hero of our faith, Abraham, was a mutterer. And the truth is, you all mutter already anyway. Everybody mutters to themselves about something. We all have conversations going on inside our heads, and it's happening right now, even though I've said that. You've got it all going on. We have self-talk. We mutter about the wife. We mutter about the kids. We mutter about the workmate. We mutter about the school friend. And we even mutter about the pastor. Amen. In the same way, you work the word of God into your life by letting the word of God infiltrate your mutterings and your self-talk. In Mark chapter 5, nearly finished, we read about a mutterer. This mutterer was very sick and no one could help her. But she muttered to herself about Jesus, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. She muttered it. She didn't say it out loud. The Bible says she spoke to herself. She said to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. She muttered. And you know what? She says, I'll be healed. And she was. She did touch the edge of his robe. She was healed. And she got healed without even asking permission from Jesus. That's a good thing to ponder on. She got healed without even asking for permission, because she came to the table and got her feast. Amen. And she walked away changed. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. But first, she pondered and muttered. And then Jesus said, your faith has made you well. What are you muttering about? Who's ever had their parents say that? What are you muttering about? Yeah. What are you muttering about? What kind of week would you have this coming week if you regularly muttered to yourself about how righteous God has made you to be? I was preaching about the book of Romans a couple of months ago. What kind of week would you have if you were just muttering to yourself all week long, I am the righteousness of God. I'm a righteous man. I'm a good man. I'm a holy man because of what Christ has done. I'm a righteous man. She's going to work. I'm a righteous man. What kind of week would you have? Well, I would like to suggest you probably would sin less this coming week. See, a lot of time we try not to sin in our own strength. But when we focus upon the word of God, and mutter, this is who I am in Christ Jesus, without having to try so hard, you get the victory. What if you mutter to yourself that God is your vindicator, just like Isaiah 54 says he is? Instead of muttering about how you want to smack that guy in the head, amen, amen, or have a fight with somebody, what if you started muttering that God's my vindicator, he's my vindicator? Well, perhaps you would probably be less anxious about those problem people who are attacking you. Just perhaps, here's a thought too, perhaps you've been having some struggles in your life because you've been muttering a load of rubbish to yourself lately. I'm a loser. Nothing ever works out for me. Wish I had a different wife. You know, we mutter rubbish. And perhaps we have struggles in our life because we've been muttering a load of rubbish to ourselves. So here's a question. Are you a rubbish mutterer or are you a Word of God mutterer? I'll say it again. Are you a rubbish mutterer or are you a Word of God mutterer? Have I mentioned that the Word of God is alive and powerful? Amen. And your faith, nearly finished. I said that a few moments ago, didn't I? And your faith is hungry for the mutterings of the Word of God. And when the Word of God is on your lips, it splashes into your thinking. And when it splashes into your thinking, it then cascades down into your spirit. And then the Word of God, which is alive and powerful, ignites your faith. And then you find it easy to receive the provision of God. There will be no trying or striving to believe. You will just believe. Faith will come because the Word of God is. So this week I encourage you to keep declaring that the Word of God is working mightily in me.